in AD 638 with the Muslim conquest of Jerusalem. Prior to this, Jewish ownership was not in question. 1,100 years before the existence of Islam, the Persian Empire declared its unwavering recognition of Jewish ownership of the Temple Mount and Jerusalem. 600 years before Islam, the Roman Empire did the same thing. The God of David owns the Temple Mount. It was given over to the Lord, who had chosen it as his eternal home on earth. And the Lord calls Mount Zion my mountain and my holy hill. He's going to come to establish his kingdom. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. Now, God says this in the book of Zechariah. I will cause the remnant of this people, that is Israel, to possess all things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, or the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. And he goes on to say, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Now, where do you think that's going to be? Mount Zion. Because the Lord himself will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and he shall purify. If you remember the days of John the Baptist, he said, I am baptizing you with water unto repentance. But there is one coming after me who will baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Do you remember the words of Jesus? He said, I came to bring fire on the earth. When he rules and reigns from Mount Zion, friends, he is going to purge this world. He made a covenant with Noah that he would never do it with water. But he is going to purge with fire. The fire of the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Have you heard that? Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint Today. The controversy of Zion. Become a partner with us in your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for what we're doing here through Save America Ministries, because time is very short. Prepare the way of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are we doing?
Well, just pretty good.
All right. Well, we're living in, I really believe, the most dangerous times, most exciting, most unusual times of my lifetime, as we see or almost organized insanity in the world today. Oh, we are now involved in six conflicts in the Near East and Middle East. We have troops certainly in Iraq. We have troops fighting in Afghanistan. We have drones and special forces working in Pakistan and in Yemen. And we have drones bombing in Somalia. Now, of course, we've taken on Libya because we want to prevent any civilians from being killed. And so we're doing bombing over there, and it's killing a lot of civilians. And the Republicans are all in favor of it. And we're, of course, 40 cents of every dollar we spend has to be borrowed. America is following a policy of economic disaster. We could, no way in the world we can afford to continue borrowing money, and so we're just printing the money to pay off the debt so we can spend more money. And, of course, there's no instance in all history where a nation gone down this path has not eventually gone bankrupt. What's going to happen to America, Bob?
Well, I think the same thing's going to happen to America. It's been coming for a long, long time. You look back and you say to yourself, well, was it deliberate all the way? They really planned this after the Second World War to just get real nasty and foolish. And was the key the dropping of the gold standard on August the 15th, 1971. I don't know that we'll ever know.
Well, but we do know that Cloward and Piven wrote an article that appeared in the Nation magazine back in 1966, and they're hardcore socialists. They said, you know, the best way to destroy a capitalist nation is simply to spend it into oblivion. Offer all these wonderful social benefits. Everybody loves to get something for nothing. And eventually you can spend the country into bankruptcy and destroy the capitalist system. And then we can take over and institute our wonderful socialist system, which is really a fascist system, where a ruling elite controls us common folks. And we reestablish the feudalism which the aristocracy has always wanted. But, of course, most socialists don't even understand socialism. Great theory, but it doesn't work. Somebody's got to be in charge. It's usually the very people that the socialists oppose end up controlling and buying and selling the elected representatives. Well, Bob,
in order the things that all these socialists and fascists as well forget that once those who have them directing them get into power, the first thing they do, by and large, is get rid of the people who put them there. And there's exceptions, of course, but they become expendable. And especially in the revolution in Russia, and even with the brown shirts in Germany, they tromped around the streets for about 10 years as one of the, if you may, gangs of people who made up private armies that most people aren't aware of, that Germany had lots of private armies, like over 200. And these are the people who did all the hard work at the beginning, and then as soon as Mr. Hitler was in power, he got rid of them. So it's a good example.
Well, we're living in exciting times, and certainly, the stock market goes up strongly, with all the things going on. It doesn't make any sense. It's obviously manipulated, but what about the price of gold and silver? I'm amazed, that it really seems to be just continuing going up and up and up and up.
Well, just think of where it would be today if the U.S. government and central banks weren't doing what they have been doing, at least really since 1966-67. But, and they were doing it illegally then. They've been doing it legally since August of 1988. And in the last 12 to 13 years, it's been extremely forcible on the price. But I believe you take gold as an example. I think a good price for gold right now based upon what's going on, would probably be $3,000 to $5,000, somewhere in there. And it'll get there. It's just that they have to lose control, and they will do so. They always have, and they will. The whole situation is too big and too overwhelming for them, and they found that to be the case in the past, and that's going to be the case again.
Well, I think it's amazing. It's really sort of fun to watch and see what's happening as they try to beat the price of gold down day after day after day after day. But certainly, do the major banks that are working in conjunction with the Brotherhood of Darkness, are they losing their shirts on a lot of their shorts on gold and silver, which is manipulating the price down?
Well, I think the banks and the government, and I think the banks pass on their losses to government. And we haven't no way of proving that because we can't get at the Fed's books. Ron Paul is trying to remedy that right now, and they're having hearings in the House, starting off with the origins and the formation and the publishing of the inflation numbers, CPI.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply saying that the price of gold and silver in our marks today is totally manipulated. He thinks gold would be $3,000 to $5,000 an ounce if it weren't that the big banks working in conjunction with the Fed, which, of course, the Fed owns, really is owned by the big banks, so it's really sort of one big happy family. Bernanke is simply controlled by the major banks, and now we have six major banks. They control the vast majority of the stock of the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve is never set up to stabilize a monetary system. It was set up to enrich privately owned banks. But what people don't really understand is behind the banks are powerful spiritual forces. And the ultimate goal is not necessarily to make money, although that's a nice side of benefit and allows people to live very well. And, of course, has allowed the banking system to provide the money that's bought, allowed them to buy the stocks of many of our major corporations, to create many of our corporations, and to buy up the media so they can control what the American people think, and to buy off the people in the universities so they can control thought in the universities. Everything's about controlling our reality. But, of course, Bob thinks that this whole thing is coming to an end very, very shortly. He's pointing out that Congressman Ron Paul there is trying to find out what is really going on as far as the banking system. And because he now heads a committee back there in Washington, D.C., he's able to use the power of Congress to get inquiring into certain things that the banks and the Federal Reserve Bank is doing. It's all in secret. Why would they operate in secret? Because they don't want the public to learn that they are part of a cabal that is working not to further the cause of America, but to destroy our economy, to destroy our monetary system, and to further the cause of the one world government, the one world religion, and installing down the line a one world ruler. Well, Bob, certainly, what do you think that Congressman Paul will be able to accomplish there in his position as chairman of this committee?
Well, I think the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Labor Department, is going to have to come up with plausible explanation as to why they do what they do. And, of course, it'll be an investigation more into the hedonics that he used, and that is substitution, actually. And there's been two major changes, one in 1980, then another one in 1996. And if you use those figures, you come up with higher inflation figures. In fact, I think if you look at it, the releases by government in relation to the CPI and the PPI, Producer Price Index, which are the increases from the mines and the sources of raw things that are used in the manufacturing of food, as well as the manufacturing of things such as cars, etc. That PPI ends at the gate of the factory, and then what happens after that is that the retailer has to decide what he's going to do with the increases that he's received from the distributors, from the factories. And sometimes the retailer and wholesale absorb some of the increases, but more often than not, they're just passed on. And so those two methods that have been put together to be used by the BLS are essentially bogus. The thinking goes that if you go to the supermarket to buy a piece of steak and it's $4 a pound and you don't want to buy it and you buy ground round instead, then the $2 you save in buying ground round are deducted from the CPI, which is ridiculous. And so the whole thing, in that respect, the use of hedonics is done just to deceive people. And they've changed it since 1980 and 1996, and I expect that now they're going to have to change it back, because once they have the hearings, and business in particular, he is officially what they've been doing, and many suspect it. Some experts certainly know it, and we've talked about it for years. It'll end, and then we'll start getting real figures. And the same thing is true with employment. The employment numbers have a thing called the birth-death ratio. Well, government says, gee, we don't know what goes on with small and medium-sized firms, the birth of them and the death of them, so we'll guess at it. And, of course, they guess their way all the time. And unemployment, based on U6, which is a combination of U1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is 15 7/8%, when in fact it's really 22.4%. And so this is what Ron is trying to do in the House, and I think he's going to be successful at that.
Well, now, basically, of course, what you're doing, whether he's talking about the unemployment figures, and then, of course, we have the certainly the inflation figures, and basically, everybody that's doing the shopping knows the price of gasoline is going up. They know the price of food is going up, but they will tell us that the inflation rate isn't going up because, of course, they exclude fuel and food from the inflation, and they say, but look, the price of housing is going down, so basically the inflation rate is low, and certainly the cars are not increasing. The price of buying a large truck is going up. They're fairly stabilized, so see, there's no inflation. But what really hits most people in the pocketbook is the cost of food and fuel, and they simply exclude that when they're calculating the inflation rate, which just goes to show that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure, and in fact, that's why you get a good job with government, if you're willing to compromise your principles and juggle the figures. And of course, they do the same thing with unemployment, with all the figures they're putting out. And of course, an awful lot of people are going to get hurt down the road if they believe the government figures are being put out. Would that be a fair assessment?
It is. And the figure with the elimination of food and petroleum products is called the core. And the core always is 0.5% or 1%, or a very diminutive figure. Whereas if you leave them in, then you get a figure of something around 2 or 2.5%. But the real figure is far higher. And this is a game they've been playing, and Wall Street is certainly very aware of it. Most transnational corporations are as well, but there are many firms that don't realize what they're doing, and they get away with it. And it allows them to tell the public, look, inflation's only 2%, when in fact it's 8. And unemployment is only 15 7/8%, or if you look at U3, it's 8.9%, which is absolute madness. And another thing is that if they're going to start cutting, eventually they're going to have to cut extended unemployment, which will change the figures dramatically. And then, of course, they'll go on to do Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, food stamps. All of these things in the next couple of years are going to become much smaller than they are today. And what do I mean by that? If the government's in serious trouble and can't fund, let's say, Social Security, and they decide, well, look, we can't afford it, we don't have the money, rather than do away with the whole thing, we'll just cut off your check in half, and so you're going to have to live on $600 a month instead of $12. And that's the way it's going to be. And if you've noticed here, particularly in the last 2 months in different states, they're trying to do away with the power of labor unions in the place of municipal and state workers. And they're being successful. They're out to break every union in the country, which means all of the coming in, all of the present retirees who have union pensions, most of which are not that good, or if you've got municipal or state pensions, and maybe even federal pensions for that matter, then their payouts are going to change. I had an article this morning from the Boston Globe. Nuns, the women in the Catholic Church, had to sue the Archbishop of Boston because when they went to get their retirement, they were told that they couldn't have it because the fund was grievously underfunded. Well, why did that happen? Where did the money go? No explanation. So they took it to the Supreme Court of the state of Massachusetts. It's going to be real interesting to see how it turns out.
Well, I can expect a lot of the money that the Catholic Church had to actually pay the claims made by the people, by the young people who've been molested by the priests. And, I mean, they put out hundreds of millions of dollars, not several billions of dollars. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're waiting for things to get back to normal, for things to get back, you know, as they were, they're not going back where they were. Basically, America's changed. It's changed forever. And this is what happens when a nation turns its back on God. But nobody wants to talk about that aspect of it. Well, Bob, you go right ahead, said that you were just talking about the plight of the nuns, but certainly they could accomplish almost the same thing instead of cutting the pensions by simply holding them.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
We've lost most of the value, the vast 95% of the value of our currency. I know the home I bought for $40,000, $42,000 in 1961, recently sold for about $2 million. This is really what's happened to the value of currency and value of property. And what they've done is simply destroy the value of currency. Well, Bob feels we're going to have a progressive inflation. It'll get worse and worse, probably go into a hyperinflation, and then the whole thing will collapse and we'll move into a deflationary depression. But then when it'll happen, he doesn't know. I don't know either, but we're in for some very difficult times. And of course, we're going to be going from war to war to war. Wars are a wonderful diversion. Wars give the government the justification for increasing their power over the lives of the people. After all, we have to increase the government's power to protect the American people against the wicked Osama bin Laden, who wants to take away our freedom. And because we see this pattern used over and over again, it's always so effective. And what's so amazing is that people always rally behind the government when they take us into another senseless war. Right now, we've got Tony calling from Michigan. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Tony, are you there?
Hi, Stan and Bob.
Okay, I have a question for Bob.
Yes, I sure do. He was just talking about where Social Security and a lot of the programs going to be in a couple of years because we're getting so bad with the economy and everything. I want to ask him, if all that's going to happen, how can we stand to have two wars and nine to a third one? How can we? That costs a lot of money. And they're going to cut back on
Tony, they'll just keep on printing money. It's as simple as that. And the money that's printed, in effect, will be the result of the issuance of bonds, which we see today, approximately 80% are being purchased by the Federal Reserve, which makes money up out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how they're doing it. And there's nothing magical about it. It's very, very simple. And, you know, they don't teach you about this in university when you take economics 1, 2, and 3 or
mm-hmm.
specialize in it. They just brush over it. And they don't want you to know that. They want you to know economic theory, which is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the theories are all Keynesian-based. And Lord Keynes was an economist who, as I look back, I see in having studied the teachings of Keynes, it was no more than the beginnings of the basis to corporate fascism. And
mm-hmm.
that's what he was saying was all about.
Now, don't China hold our debt, and also wasn't Japan same thing? There was the next one. So what was Japan and all this they're in, this problem they're having, what's going to happen?
Well, Japan has been in depression since 1992,
uh-huh.
and they've never gotten out. And yes, they printed money. And who bought the paper? The paper being the bonds. Well, it was the Japanese people.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go into the international bond market because they had a great pool of savings that were saved since the Second World War. And, of course, all those people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, before death, they are taking a great deal of the money that they had in these retirement funds. In Japan, it's called the postal system. And they have kind of a strangulation on getting fresh money without going into the international market to borrow. They don't want to sell their treasuries because the United States would be mad at them. And that probably was part of a secret deal that they made after the Second World War. But now that they've had this tragedy, they're going to have to sell. And so you're going to see more government bonds, U.S. government bonds in the market.
No, basically what you're saying is the Japanese are going to be forced to actually sell their T-bills so they will have the money to rebuild Japan after this nuclear accident, after the damage from the tsunami. So this is going to have a profound impact on our economy as well, because then what's going to happen? All these bonds on the market, certainly, the Fed will have to just create more money to buy them. You can't, indefinitely create money out of nothing. Eventually, comes the time when you have to pay the piper. And Tony, I think it's coming very soon. Hey, hold on. Bye bye. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is Bob Chapman. Bob, I'd like your take on what's going on over there as far as the emergency in Japan, as far as the so-called nuclear leaks. I keep getting people calling me and telling me that the massive radiation cloud is drifting towards us across the Pacific. Got a call this evening from a woman who said that she was an expert, had worked at many nuclear plants on disaster planning, and about all the animals who died in Chernobyl, and all the people are going to die, and animals and crops are going to die from this nuclear accident. And course, when I tried to pin her down as to her credentials, how we could verify them, she said it was all classified. But what is your take on what's going on today?
Well, she could be right, but we don't know. And we're going to have to wait and find out, unfortunately. That's a hard way to find out. Because if there is this nuclear cloud or nuclear, we'll call it rain, that is headed towards the United States of America, there's not an awful lot people can do about it. You can't believe anything governments tell you, so to make a decision based upon what they say is impossible. If I had to guess, I would say no. I would say it was a natural disaster. I think there was a lot of mistakes made in handling it. I think that other nations who had expertise in these areas should have joined in and helped the Japanese deal with the problem. But as far as I know, none of that happened. I think that's the most egregious situation of the whole overall situation. But we really can't make a decision. And so based on that, we're just going to have to wait and see, and that is just the way it is.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. We have Tony calling from San Jose, but before we get to Tony, it's in the, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Bob, before we get to Tony, I want you to tell our listeners how they can learn more about the International Forecaster, how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster, and why they should subscribe to the International Forecaster.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And we'd like to think that everything that you know, need to know each week is in that, in those publications. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternational, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com, or to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. For those of you who have questions, and we answer everyone, or for those of you who would like our latest picks in gold and silver shares, all you have to do is email us at Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. Bob at intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Bob Chapman, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295-1888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Tony. How are we doing?
Oh, as well as could be expected, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. You have a question for Bob.
Well, yeah. In fact, I've been kind of hoping to get to ask him this question for a while. I kind of asked you this, but I kind of like to ask Bob the same question. And about 1992, John Davidson wrote a book called The Great Reckoning. And it was like his forecast for the millennium and thereafter. A few things he forecast were the phony war on terrorism, $2,000 an ounce gold around the turn of the millennium. He was off by a bit, I admit. But he also made a forecast based on a historical anomaly that about every 125 years, Tokyo seems to get destroyed by an earthquake. And he said that that was the thing to be watching for. If Tokyo was destroyed by an earthquake with all of their massive holdings of treasury debt, that they would be forced to sell it, and that it was going to end up causing a depression in the United States and the demise of the dollar. I'm not quite sure how this works. First of all, I'd like your opinion of that. And if that is the case, if they sell treasury debt, don't they get paid in dollars? And wouldn't they have to trade those into yen? I'm not quite sure how that works.
Well, essentially, what was said is correct. And it has been brought about just recently by an earthquake. And that probably at the time, which was 18 years ago now, was probably a guess. And it's come true. And yes, they sell and they get dollars. They then take the dollars and trade them for yen. And then they take the yen and they solve their financial problems, which in this case is rebuilding the country, which will take probably 5 or 10 years, and they'll probably lose a great deal of their success in the export market. And so what he said has come true. And I think that people should take notice of projections like that have been made. We made similar ones, although they weren't the same as what he did. But there are people like Stan and I and Davidson and a handful of others who have seen what would happen in the future if certain events occurred, because we studied the past. And that's the key to the whole thing. And so, yes, Japan will be able to fund the rebuilding of that section of their country, and they will probably have to do it, I don't think they have any other choice, than by selling their U.S. treasuries,
and of course,
which
basically,
is about $850 billion.
And basically, of course, we certainly are living on borrowed money. And but what happens, of course, when the people who we've borrowed from want their money back? You can't live on borrowed money indefinitely today. We have a massive, massive debt. And you're talking about $14 trillion. Now, admittedly, about five of that is the Social Security Fund and Medicare Fund. And I mean, you hear these politicians saying there's nothing to worry about with Social Security. Social Security is solvent. There is a massive Social Security Fund. Yeah, it's all in U.S. Bonds, and there's no the Treasury, U.S. Treasury, has no money to pay the bonds off. They have to go out and borrow the money. You can't keep living on borrowed money. And what happens when other countries lose confidence in our ability to repay? I mean, would you honestly lend money to a man you knew wasn't going to repay? Well, you'd say, well, we want some security for our money. Well, what security does the federal government have to be sure that they're going to repay the debts? And, of course, all they could do would be to hawk all of our natural resources or begin selling more and more of our countries to our companies and property and corporations overseas. And that is really going on today. China has massive numbers of dollars. They're trying to get out of them. And what's China doing? Well, through their sovereign wealth funds, they're coming in and buying up property. They're coming in and buying up a lot of corporations and anything they can in the way of natural resources. Everybody's trying to get out of dollars because they've lost confidence in it. Now, one of these days, when, of course, there's a panic and everybody's selling dollars frantically, I think we're going to see a real drop in the value of the dollar, and that'll begin to sort of be one of the movements towards the end of the monetary system as we know it. What's really so interesting is that Timothy Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, has actually suggested that we go to an international currency. He's talking about the world abandoning the dollar And here's, now you can't understand what this is really about unless you understand who Timothy Geithner really is. He is a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a key member of the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can't understand the game unless you've got a program and know who the players are. And Timothy Geithner is one of these people intent upon destroying the structure of our nation and merging us into a one-world government. This is subversive. These people are subversives. They've sworn to uphold our Constitution. They want to destroy our Constitution. And then, of course, you'd hear about Libya, and, of course, the National Security Advisor, Timothy Dialon, who's a Diamond, I believe is his name. He's advising the president. Who is he? He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. You read about Susan Rice, you know, simply going to the she's the American ambassador to the United Nations, and she's advising the president. Who is she? She's a member of the Trilateral Commission. We hear about Hillary Clinton. Her husband was a member of the Trilateral Commission. Unless you have a program, you can't understand it, not very many of them, but they are totally dedicated to the destruction of this nation and merging us into a new world order, a new world religion, and enslavement. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Tony, any other questions?
Yeah, I do. I went back and started reading about the little experiment they had in France under John Law and their paper money system.
Wait a minute, Tony, for our listeners out there, John Law was a Scotchman who went to France, early 1700s, somewhere 1703 or 4, and he convinced the king over there he could bring prosperity by simply printing paper money. I mean, we'll just make money and we'll make you a very rich man. So what happened?
Well, everything was just going along fine and went for quite a while. And then, he was like the most popular person in the country, and, he lived this lavish lifestyle and thing. But then what they would do is they would discount their notes to certain people. In other words, so when they would come out with their new batch of money, they would sell it a little cheaper to preferred people. And there was a certain duke. It wasn't the Duke of Orleans, but it was somebody else. I can't recall his name right now. But anyway, he got really upset because he was cut out of the newest assignment of the new money because he didn't get his big discount. And so he took all of his notes and that he had, and he went and demanded gold for them. And so anyway, he loaded up, from what I read, 3 wagons full of gold coins. And because he was so mad, he cashed in all of his paper money. And the Law and his bank general, they were so upset, they tried to convince him to bring it back. But I guess he did go back, and he turned in 2 of the 3 wagons, but he kept the 3rd. The whole point of this is that when it was found out, everybody wanted their money. And that's kind of like what broke the bank. And I'm wondering what Bob thinks about the possibility of the Japanese cashing in their treasury bills. Do you think this has a possibility of breaking the bank, as they say? I'll listen to this one on the hang up. But I sure appreciate what you're both doing. Thank you.
All right, go ahead. Do you think that this could be sort of the straw that would break the camel's back, Bob, or at least the final straw?
Could be, but probably not. The Japanese have fully cooperated with the U.S. government as well as others since the Second World War. If you read Gold Warriors, a book about the divvying up the Japanese loot by the Japanese and the U.S. government after the Second World War, you fully understand that they have been in a subservient state since then. And so, yes, they have to get funded. And the Federal Reserve probably will, over a period of time, purchase the bonds that they have, and enough money will be gleaned from the sale of them, as well as the sale of bonds to Japanese citizens in the form of yen, and they will probably get the job done doing that without destroying the market, but it will affect it. It will give the Fed balance sheet, instead of being about $3 trillion, it'll probably go to maybe $4 trillion. And they don't think anything of that. They don't think about inflation. They don't care about it. One of the things that the Fed is supposed to do is bring price stability and stable employment, and they don't do that. You know, it's a ruse. The rich on Wall Street that control the Fed, they do what they want to do. And that's why we've got the problems we've got. And that's why looting of the American public has become so obvious, fast, and furious in these latest stages of the collapse of a fiat money system.
And I think what most people don't understand is Japan is an occupied nation. We occupy the nation. We have, I think, 35, 40,000 troops there, and probably twice at least equal number of dependents and certainly American government employees. We occupied Japan. We control the country. We control the government over there. They're totally subservient. People don't understand. We have our troops in Japan, until recently the second largest economy in the world, in Germany until recently the third largest economy in the world. We have our troops occupying both France and England. We have certainly our troops occupying South Korea. We control all the governments there. I mean, if we had 50,000 Chinese communist troops, you know, in Washington, D.C., who would control Washington, D.C.? But nobody wants to say it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. I would also point out we control most of the nations of the world through foreign aid. We have our Special Forces troops stationed in 75 nations. These are trained killers. They are the most efficient killers in the world. I mean, there is nobody as more efficient as killing as the Special Forces trained to kill, and we have them stationed in 75 nations. How would you like to be the ruler of a nation with a Special Forces contingent answerable to Washington, D.C. only, and with a license to kill? You'd certainly be looking over your shoulder and making sure you did what you were told. We have troops stationed in 150 nations. A lot of them don't have very many, but we have significant numbers in somewhere close to 130 nations. We have an empire. We control the world. But you can't keep doing that when you're a bankrupt nation. Bankrupt not only monetarily, but bankrupt spiritually. And all you need to certainly do is see the pictures of our young people and the suggestive and lewd dancing and the attitude towards homosexuality. And certainly half of our marriages end up in divorce, and 40% of our children are born out of wedlock. We have a nation turned against God and God's law. And I believe we're witnessing what happens when a nation turns against God. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. Our guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, and we're simply talking about what's going on. Tell us what's happening in Europe. Have things settled down in Europe, or is Europe going to continue in this downward spiral to destruction?
Well, I don't think there's any way for them to escape, and the reason why is the bill is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $3 to $5 trillion to bail out the six or so countries that are in trouble, and that's really unpayable. We'll pick it up on the other side.
No, basically, the other thing, Chris, we have the real problem, certainly as far as here in the United States, where we're spending 40 cents of every dollar we spend has to be borrowed. How long can you keep spending money you don't have without, of course, eventually going bankrupt? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble today. And so they focus our attention on foreign wars. And the question is, Bob, how long can we continue suddenly living on borrowed money?
It's hard to say. I wish I had a clear-cut, definitive answer, but I don't, and I don't think.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey Water Good. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. It's coming down the line. You realize, of course, that when they destroy the value of the dollar, they destroy the value of your life savings. Position yourself, get out of debt as best you can, or you may even want to sell your home, get into a rental if you do not have a massive debt overlying, because I suspect the price of property of a home is going to go down even further. We're not financial advisors, but we do know that most people are going to lose out. And could lose most of what they've worked their whole lives for, the way things are going. Well, I telephone if you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, would really give you some understanding of what's going on. My telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I should say 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope that you want to get our talks on the final of the forbidden secret and the dark secret. The two types of separate talks, each with their own syllabus. But they'll explain to you the spiritual nature of the battle we're involved in. The forbidden secret and the dark secret. And then, of course, we do hope you'll want to get my talk on the hidden agenda. Now, this really deals with water fluoridation, but almost 68% of the countries in this nation have fluoridated water, and 90% of those have fluoridated water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is really a disaster. And the average American has no realization of what they're doing. They're poisoning our children. On this one issue, we could get people to wake up. And that's why this talk is so vitally important. The syllabus is important. We have the great DVD, cancer, forbidden cures. Why is it important? Why? Because it points out that there are cures for cancer which are being suppressed. And, of course, if you have, you can get simply the text of a program we have called the New Order of the Barbarians, and you can even get the four-tape set or four-CD set. You can hear Dr. Dennegan, who's a pediatrician in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was he talks about hearing a talk back in 1969 by Dr. Richard Day of Planned Parenthood. A medical director of Planned Parenthood talks about how they have treatments for cancer. 1969. They have treatments for cancer. There are too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And we will keep the treatments locked up in the basement of the Rockefeller Center. Read this incredible manuscript. We have it in manuscript form. Or hear the talk. You know, hear the interviews with Dr. Dennegan. I personally tracked him down and interviewed him. I wanted to convince myself what he was saying was true, and I believe it is. Because, of course, there's so much what he said has come to pass. They knew exactly what was going to happen as we shifted our manufacturing overseas. They knew exactly what was going to happen as they started paying our sports athletes fantastic salaries. They knew exactly what would happen when we had sex education in the schools and how they would utilize that to destroy the moral fabric of our society. And Dr. Day laid it all out in a talk back in 1969. And actually, firstly, some of the interviews you'll hear were recorded in the late 1980s by Randy Engel. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So we do hope that, of course, you'll give us a call. You go to our website, radioliberty.com. If you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Look at the banners and click on the story of Jesus. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And of course, I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an investigative reporter. He was certainly probably the best-known investigative reporter in Israel during many of the 30 years he was there. But because he was getting too close to the devil's heartbeat and the corruption in the Israeli government, why there were attempts on his life, and he was forced to flee to the United States. So Israel's losses are gained, although Barry's articles are still widely read, not only in the United States, but Israel and throughout the world. And we're going to be talking to Barry this evening, and I hope he will cover for us, at least in part, the story of the fact that Al Jazeera and perhaps one or two other sources had suggested that Gaddafi had paid some $5 billion to an Israeli company headed by an Israeli general to raise an army of mercenaries to fight the rebels in Libya. And, but it seems there's been some additions to the story, so I'm going to let Barry Shammers pick up the story. Barry, is there anything to verify that story in addition? Why don't you tell it for our listeners who may not have heard it in the past?
I sent out an article today that really tells, I don't know what percentage of the story, but a very nasty chunk of it. And by the way, the responses I've been getting, the correspondence, last time I made the suggestion that Israel was keeping Gaddafi afloat, people would write me and said, that's not possible. We wouldn't do that. It's too stupid. Not this time. The letters have the one theme from Israel is don't air our problems publicly, which means that I'm doing some of the best work in my career. I haven't heard that since the Rabin days. What I did is I got inside really something where it's called Global CST. That is the company led by Major General Israel Zeev that cut the deal with Gaddafi. It's a security company based in Africa, in Guinea, that put together Muammar Gaddafi's guns for hire army, his mercenary forces that rose in 2 weeks from like 4,000 to 25,000. Apparently, it's gone up to 50,000. And
So basically, now where does how were you able to get this additional information, or are you at liberty to tell us?
Well, you just have to be looking for it, really. Oops, I hear the music.
No, you go right ahead. Basically, the original story appeared in the Al Jazeera.
No, Al Jazeera was a secondary or third.
Right. What was the primary source?
Yediot Achronot and Inyan Mirkazi.
All right. What is that?
Yediot is only the biggest paper in Israel.
All right.
And Inyan Mirkazi is the biggest website in Israel.
All right, fine. So this was the original source of the material.
Yes.
All right, fine. So basically the story was that this Israeli general had actually raised a mercenary force for Gaddafi, which in many ways didn't make sense. But then when you pointed out there was a lot of money involved, it might. But then, of course, there is another twist to the story. We'll be back in just a moment here. Barry, go ahead and tell the rest of the story.
Yes. As a matter of fact, a lot happened this week other than this. But I'm only going to talk about this. There's no point in muddying the waters here. Let's start at the beginning, and then we'll get to the end. The end is, it's a scandal every bit as widespread and disgusting as the Rabin murder. And it's from the same gang of Oslo politicians, the peacemakers. But let's start from the beginning. On February 18th, there was a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defense Minister Brock, Foreign Minister Lieberman, and they heard an assessment. The assessment came from General Aviv Kochavi. He's the head of IDF intelligence and the chairman of the North African Division of the Foreign Ministry, Shalom Cohen. They both gave, the same assessment, that if Gaddafi fell, a radical Islamic regime would follow. Now, based on this, and I'm going to say unlikely assessment, so far it hasn't happened. Egypt, they're going to have an election that's could very well bring in the Muslim Brotherhood, but so far it hasn't happened. But even, well, based on this very unlikely assessment of the situation, Netanyahu decided to contact General Zeev and create a mercenary army to keep Gaddafi in power. Now, this is basically what I wrote in my first article. And it, boy, talk about denial. Why, oh boy, the Jews, a lot of people didn't like it. They viewed it as unlikely. But since then, other stuff has come out. And they're not finding it so unlikely anymore. In short, well, I don't know if you need to know the name Abdullah Assanousi, who's a head of the Libyan intelligence agency, but he was the point man in this deal. He flew to the Chadian capital of N'Djamena and for a meeting with Yisrael Zeev. Now that was...
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, the background of what we're talking about this evening is apparently the certainly people high up in the Israeli government had a meeting with Netanyahu and Barak and several other Lieberman, key people in the Israeli government, and they said, look, if Gaddafi falls, why the radical Islamists will take over, we have got to perhaps to see what we can do to help Gaddafi. Now, from my point of view, it's immoral, but be that as it may, when you're considering whether or not your country's going to survive, sometimes you make a devil's deal. So apparently a very key member of the Netanyahu administration...
You're apologizing for this decision?
No, I'm not apologizing, but I'm maybe rationalizing it. I don't like it any better than you do, but apparently somebody...
There's no rationalization for it.
You're absolutely right. I'm explaining how they would think. I don't believe even they thought.
Well, they found money.
Okay,
and
we're going to get
into what's going on here.
You go ahead. Anyway, apparently a key member of the Israeli government flew into Chad, where, of course, this Israeli general is organizing a mercenary army for Gaddafi. Pick up the story there.
Well, look, the key members. Well, General Yossi Kupferwasser was one, but more important to me, because he shows up over and over again, is the former foreign minister, Shlomo Ben-Ami. Now, this guy is a Paris, and without diving into it, he is one of the big Vatican puppets in the Israeli government, a big one. Now, I don't know if I should digress on... No, I won't for now, or we're going to get lost. But flying into the beautiful capital of Chad, N'Djamena, was apparently the Libyan Abdullah Assanousi to cut the deal, and he met with the former foreign minister Shlomo Ben-Ami along with General Yossi Kupferwasser. That they all sat down. This was, I guess, it would have been February 20th, probably 21st, perhaps. But it was shortly after that meeting on the 18th that this little get-together in Chad took place. Now, if you want to justify, there is no justification but greed for the Israeli decision. We'll get to that shortly. But if you want to really justify, you've got to look at it from the point of view of Gaddafi. I mean, really. He is selling his soul to the devil. If it gets out in the Arab world that he cut a deal with Israel to maintain power, it can't be good for him. Well, look, he only had two choices. If you remember, the rebels were marching towards Tripoli. They'd captured all of eastern Libya, and it was a matter of days before Gaddafi fell. So he really had only two choices. be overthrown or be saved by Israel. And needless to say, he chose the latter. The Israelis had the pat hand in this deal. Now, what Global GST, again, that's General Israel Zeev's company, I have to repeat this so we don't get too lost. He asked for $5 million, American dollars, which Gaddafi...
Five million or $5 billion?
Billion.
B. That's big bucks. Go ahead.
It's, yeah, not bad for putting together an army, and, of course, they were equipped, very well equipped. Well, in short, the army of mercenaries is reportedly 50,000 right now. So, you know, you got to pay them, and there were expenses, but you can be sure that the Israeli firm saw a few $billion from this at least, but that wasn't the end of the deal. They were granted rights to explore and export Libyan oil, of course, under deeply, deeply under the table after the rebels were defeated. But I think more terrifying was that Libya granted General Zeev a permit to operate his hired for guns on Libyan soil. He would get a base to train, well, these soldiers, what are they training for? They're training to spread throughout Africa, saving dictators every which way. It was a commercial business that I assume Libya got a cut out of as well. But Gaddafi agreed to let an Israeli security firm, that's just in nice words, a security firm is a security firm that he ran was a mercenary army to keep falling dictators propped up, and Gaddafi agreed to this. Now, all looked pretty good for Israel, and it looked pretty good for Gaddafi. The army was recruited very quickly. It entered Libya within, they were changing the battle already by, February 24th and 5th. They were having their effect immediately. Well, more to the point, 3 days ago, Gaddafi was going to walk into Benghazi, and he was going to win the war. Nothing was going to stop him, and he was overpowering the rebels until a UN resolution. Now they call it a no-fly zone. The missiles and the bombs that I've been seeing on TV have nothing to do with stopping planes from flying.
It sounds to me it's a no-fly, no-drive zone because they're bombing the tanks, they're bombing, you know, military camps, they're bombing everything over there, but go ahead.
You bet they are. This no-fly zone is a joke. Yeah, you're right, they're bombing tanks and armored personnel carrier. They've stopped Gaddafi's personal army and his mercenary army. That was it. As soon as the United States, all the Tomahawk missiles are coming from the States, and they are not just knocking out anti-aircraft missile batteries. They're aimed at buildings. What we've got right now is Gaddafi is going to lose. Believe me, if the West, and mostly America, Britain have been also bombing, and France have been going really only for the tanks and the traffic on the Gaddafi side of Benghazi. That's all they've been doing. They haven't knocked out any anti-aircraft missile batteries. They've been going for the roads. Now, what you've got is a very determined coalition, if you want to call three countries a coalition. But on paper, anyways, NATO is behind this no-fly zone, and they've got a lot of prestige to lose. They're going to stick around till Gaddafi is out. I can't imagine they would stick their necks out this deep and just go away. It's implausible for me to imagine that they do that. Gaddafi's days have to be numbered now, which means, now here's where my news story starts getting pretty darn criminal, which means Gaddafi is going to lose. What does that mean? It means that Israel Zeev he's going to lose his base and the oil explorations. He's going to lose. Zeev will go down with Gaddafi, and Israel will be behind another fiasco. And I say another fiasco. Zeev has got a string of them, and he's not just a maverick general. I went looking for who this guy is. By the way, I rewrote the article with information I received after the article. I actually rewrote it for a separate audience. This was only a few hours ago.
Well, I hope you send me the new one as well.
I will do that.
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Look, General Zeev, now this is a little background before we go into the other deals and other wars he's lost in the last 5 years. General Zeev is on the payroll of Counterterrorism International and is a member of the Task Force on Future Terrorism. It's called FOTFF. It was created in 2005 by the Office of Homeland Security. He operated for a time under the direct orders of then Secretary Michael Chertoff and Lee Hamilton.
Oh, you mean that they double-crossed Gaddafi? This is
no, not at all. They double-crossed, if anyone, Chertoff and Obama.
Okay, go ahead.
There was no double-cross. What happened is that Zeev lost again. But, oops, I hear the music. Don't I hear
go
the
ahead.
Music?
You go ahead. We'll tell you when to stop.
In short, Zeev from the year 2005 was working hand-in-hand with the Office of Homeland Security.
Well, it sounds like somebody who's working for the Office of Homeland Security who's backing Gaddafi. There's something very wrong with that story.
Not at all. They're double-crossing the Americans. Not at all.
Well, basically, so often we finance both sides. Go ahead.
That's a possibility.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here with our good friend Barry Shamish as we analyze the amazing story of the Gaddafi's mercenary army. Go right ahead.
Look, you've raised...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
In Libya will not be cited under international law. In other words, whoever loses these people will not in any way be punished. They will be protected and allowed to return to their homes.
Well, considering that Netanyahu gave the order to get them into Libya, I would say that the embarrassment to, well, it would be censure in a way that Israel has never suffered before. So I guess they got a little protection. So the captured soldiers who knew anything wouldn't open their mouths. Whatever the reason, the mercenaries that survived will go back into General Zeev's forces. He didn't want to see them slaughtered, I suppose. But now we've got... Well, let's look at it broadly. I wrote the article 2 weeks ago about this deal to support Gaddafi and keep his regime afloat. And I thought that would be the end because, what was it, day or 4 days later, whenever it happened, you had the tsunami and then, you've got a radiation, you've got reactors just spewing the stuff out now. The milk. Look, when I was a kid, they used to explode atomic bombs in the air, and we'd drink milk, and we'd have strontium 90, and we were warned that your child will get strontium 90 from cow's milk. You've got that right now in Japan, and it's spreading. Leafy vegetables are always first. It's something that I knew about when I was growing up, and it's back again. Now, I thought that would be the end of the Libyan story, because nothing is bigger than those reactors, except no-fly zone and war. And Gaddafi is back in the picture, and this article that I just wrote is not irrelevant. The timing is, well, in my case, fortuitous, but a whole lot of people are not going to think it's so fortuitous.
All right, so what's the news story then going to cover?
What news story? We're going to go into the same story.
All right, go ahead then.
All right, now what we've got now is, well, I just uncovered who General, I had never heard of General Yisrael Ziv as a representative of Israeli security and all over the world. But I do, and I did remember that he was the IDF commander of the evacuation of the Jews from Gush Katif. He was behind it. Now, he was a nasty. What he did, well, he just cleared out all of the Jews of Gaza and threw them into hotels for a week, and then they were homeless with no compensation whatsoever. He faced about 2,000 protesters. That's all, there should have been 500,000, but without going into the reasons why, he faced down 2,000 of them, and he just threatened them. He said that outsiders have taken the locals hostage. Bunch of baloney. The outsiders that took the locals hostage was General Ziv and the IDF. But he says, we'll take care of them very fast. Now, with that little threat, it was pointed out to him that all of these protesters, literally all, were teenagers. And they asked him, you're going to be moving fast against our kids? He had an infamous reply that I recalled. He said he would take that into consideration, but he had his limits. You don't press this guy. He's gonna gather them up no matter what it takes and throw them out of Gaza. All right, I hear the music.
All right, you go right ahead. I'll tell you when it could be, when it's coming to the time you have to stop. So basically, he is the man who actually was the architect of expelling the settlers from Gaza.
Well, and, he was the highest-ranking officer. I don't know what he architected, but it was his mission to make Jews homeless.
And of course, he did a very efficient job, didn't he?
Well, he got rid of all of them.
Right, and they just went in and simply dragged them out, kicking and screaming, or simply convinced them to go. You know, it's a use of excessive force, but...
he didn't have to.
We'll be right back. Okay, Barry, you pick the story up.
Yes, and we will get to that part that I added after I wrote the article. Let's get to this first. This was the year 2006. Ziv was the horrible SOB in charge of the IDF throwing Jews out of Gaza. So we're talking about a man with no conscience, none. I leave it at that. What does he do the next year? Remember, he's already ruthlessly attacked his own people and put them through hell, really. They have not had compensation. They've not had housing. Their families have fallen apart. This was all General Zeev. He could have refused the order. And soldiers did refuse the order to remove Jews from their homes. But after he got finished with that nasty piece of business in 2007, and I knew all about this, and Georgia, a little new country that used to be in the Soviet Union, in the year 2007, declared war on Russia. Now, I don't even know if you remember that. It wasn't that long ago, but I watched it very closely because Israeli troops were in Georgia, and they were arming and equipping, not only arming and equipping the Georgian army, they were convincing the Georgian leadership to go to war against Russia, because after a day or two, the world will force Russia to back down, and they'll be viewed as heroes, and you're going to win your independence or anything you want from Russia. Somehow, Russia went to war. Now, the Russian foreign minister was a Jew.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan Kurtzberry simply pointing out that the year after General Z expelled the Jews from Gaza, and then he went to Georgia, and it's a little new country there. It's supposedly split off from Russia. And with the help of a Jewish army there in Georgia, a small Jewish army, they were arming and equipping and training the Georgian army with the idea that this little country should go to war with massive big Russia, which doesn't make any sense, but so much of what's going on doesn't make sense. And I do remember what happened to Tillisberry.
Well, what happened is they got crushed. Well, what do you think is going to happen when little Georgia goes to war against Russia? Now, but a war broke out. And once again, it was General Z's troops who trained the Georgian army. And I remember the foreign minister was a Jew. He came to Jerusalem, spoke some Hebrew. A deal was cut with him. I don't know what went on to convince them to do this piece of insanity. But they went to war against Russia. Folks, if you don't believe me, just go to Google. I think the year was 2007, perhaps 8. But that war was one of the silliest one-sided confrontations you could possibly devise. Now, the Russians were really, really teed off with Israel. The Russian foreign minister said it all through the Israeli press, that you made a terrible mistake. He said that Israel training the Georgians and arming them was a fateful mistake. And I believe him. I believe Russia has just become very anti-Israel since the war. And during the war, here's a quote. During the war, the reservists said the bases used to train the troops had been bombed by the Russians, even though they weren't located in the area where the battles are taking place. The Russians were going to kill these Israelis who started this mess on their borders. What it comes down to is Ziv. If you think Gaddafi's going to lose, just look at what happened to the Georgians. Once again, Ziv got a country to go to war, and the country was crushed. Now, if you think, it just gets worse and worse, because in the year 2008, Ziv went to an African country called Guinea. he trained the troops of a dictator named Captain Musa Dadis Kamara. I'm going to read you the new part. This comes straight from Haaretz. I'm just going to quote the whole long thing. In December 2009, okay, Haaretz published an expose describing how Zeev and former Tel Aviv police commander David Sur, foreign minister at the time Shlomo Ben Ami, former foreign minister, remember, Ben Ami was the one who flew to the Chadian capital to negotiate with the Libyan secret intelligence service. Just reminding you, he was part and parcel of Zeev from the beginning, but I'm going to go back to the quote. Tel Aviv Police Commander David Sur, former Foreign Minister Shlomo Ben Ami, former Deputy Defense Minister Chaim Schnee, former Israeli Ambassador to Nishim Zvili, and others got together to work in Guinea, a small resource-rich West African country. They got a $10 million contract, among others, to set up and train a special military guard for Captain Musa Dadis Kamara, who seized power in Guinea and appointed himself president. The contract stipulated that Z would supply the force with gear and weapons. To that end, Israeli instructors who were veterans of the Israel Defense Forces and the defense establishment arrived in Guinea at Z's behest. Well, here they are in Guinea. The real problem is this became a scandal in Israel. And Guinea was a bloodthirsty dictatorship under this guy Kamara. And Israel, the Israeli Knesset, had a special session on what to do with this Yisrael Zeev. And Israel officially had a law banning any Israeli businesses from setting up in Guinea. It was just a wild dictatorship. And Zeev broke the law. And the law had a special meeting in the Knesset to send him to court for this very nefarious violation of Israeli law. Now, what Haaretz said is that protexia, that's the Israeli word for political, for lobbying. Protexia means you paid off the political establishment. They said because of his protexia, he was let off with only a fine. Now, I don't know what to... apparently, there are honest people in the Israeli government, and apparently Netanyahu, Barak, and Lieberman are not amongst them. But Yisrael Zeev has done things that have infuriated the honest and decent members of the Knesset, and there still apparently are a few. But they're not strong enough or brave enough to withstand... Again, protexia. That is the real establishment who runs the joint. They couldn't bring this Israel Zeev to court. And they tried to, and they failed. Now, what's going on in Israel is a push-pull between a basically honest population. Israel is not known for crime. And what runs the place, which is, this is not real politics, like you were trying to explain that, well, if an Islamist regime replaced Gaddafi, maybe it was just smart politics. This is the mafia. Let's not mix the two up here. Now, I'm going to go back and talk about this little cabal of people that I should have put in the article in the first place. I just don't want to write all my I don't want to overwhelm my readers by resending it. I'll do it later on. Somehow, I'll get to them. What we're talking about, Shlomo Ben-Ami, the former ambassador to Spain, is, now, I'm no exaggeration when I say that, he will take over from Peres when Peres dies. He's the up-and-coming Vatican spy of Israel. He was in on this, and how much time do we have?
Oh, let's see. We got about 10 minutes. Just a little shy, just short of that. Go ahead.
All right. Fair enough. Ephraim's there. Again, these are all in on the Guinea business. Now, Ephraim Stan has quite a story, and boy, does he know me, because Ephraim Stan, Dr. Ephraim Stan, was the doctor who went into the dead Rabin's hospital room, and he came out midnight, the night of the assassination, and he went on TV, and he announced Rabin's death. He announced that Rabin was shot 3 times, twice from the front, and he had a gaping hole in his back. And I got the film of the official announcement after the Rabin Commission of Inquiry determined that twice in the back and once in the front. I got it wrong. Ephraim Stan announced that Rabin was shot 3 times, twice in the back. The big one was once in the front. He said he had a gaping bullet hole in his chest, which collapsed the lungs and killed him. This was from the Minister of Health in the Rabin government and a doctor who went into Rabin's room, and he would not have made a medical mistake. He told the people of Israel the truth. The cover-up began an hour later with another doctor changing the autopsy, changing the conclusions of all the previous doctors, but I got all the previous doctors' notes, or at least a vast majority of them, where they all agreed with Snare. Rabin was shot twice in the back and once from the front, killing him. That was the wound that killed him, the one from the front. The problem is the Israeli government, and they hired such a commission of inquiry to bluff all the doctors' reports, had Rabin shot only twice in the back, because Yigal Amir was caught on film shooting Rabin, and Rabin never faced him. He was caught shooting Rabin in the back only. Stan just simply changed. He never said a thing about that interview. Never again. What you're talking about in this, well, it is a conspiracy. Let's not fool around here. Going to Guinea, well, I'd say that Snap probably got a couple $100,000 from it. And Shlomo Ben-Ami probably got, maybe $300,000. He seems to be central to these operations with Zeev. The fact is, they did something ghastly, and I'm going to tell you how ghastly very, very shortly, in Guinea. Now, as for what went on in Georgia, this group of people were probably involved in that as well. Because we know with Gaddafi that Shlomo Ben-Ami was the negotiator for the government with the Libyans. Am I getting everyone lost?
You're doing fine. Basically, they've been involved in Georgia, they were involved in Chad, they were involved in Guinea, and each time it was almost like they intentionally lost.
I'm not jumping to that conclusion, but you could certainly have a right to feel that way. Right? I haven't decided whether it's pure incompetence. Now, from my point of view, it was just sheer, I've been saying this over and over again, the Israeli leadership are paranoid schizophrenics. They're not behaving normally. I don't think they deliberately lost. I think they just built fiascos from their sick little minds. Now, look, the reason why I mentioned SNEF, again, the level of conspirator goes all the way up to one of those coverer uppers of the Rabin assassination. This has gone on for far, far too long, and these same names just keep popping up over and over again. This Shlomo Ben-Ami, one of these days I'll talk about his meetings and ties with Juan Carlos of Spain when he was the Israeli ambassador to Spain. It's all these peace-loving crooks that are doing this stuff. But let's talk about what was the end result of the Guinea adventure.
Well, what happened?
Well, it turns out that in the year 2009, the Israeli-trained troops turned their new rifles on a soccer crowd, killing 158. Now, at that point, Kamara, remember, the dictator is Captain Musa Dadis Kamara. At that point, Kamara had the anger of, soccer fans are not the people you should be shooting. they have a very bad temperament. Kamara left Guinea, supposedly for medical treatment in Morocco, and has never been back again. All right, look, you've got every time Ziv gets involved with the country, you get a war, you get bloodshed, and you get the leader of the country losing. They lost in Georgia, they lost in Guinea, and they're about to lose in Libya.
How about in Chad?
What about Chad?
Well, they weren't then involved in any military action in Chad.
Not that
all
they
right,
met
fine.
There.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. So basically they have three involvements each time they lose, and you wonder why Gaddafi would possibly want to hire a group of losers with a record like that. You don't need enemies.
Oh, he didn't have a choice. He was given a way out of the revolt taking place in his country. No one else was coming to him offering an army to defeat the rebels. He was in a corner. They take advantage. They somehow psychologically understand when they have the upper hand. Call it great business sense. They get involved in countries, in arming countries. And they have lost every single war they've been involved with.
All right, well, perhaps it was inadvertent, perhaps incompetence, perhaps, just perhaps, there's another agenda. We will certainly be looking into this more as Barry keeps us advised as to really what's going on, because the mercenaries are still there. Supposedly, they're still fighting for Gaddafi. They're in Libya. What's going to happen? Well, we're just going to wait and see, but certainly when America targets you for defeat, why, it's usually only a matter of time. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Samuels to write up the program. To wind up the program right here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, I'm going to finish off with a plug to me. How to get my books and so forth.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey water gun. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927 to learn about the total home filtration unit.
H-A-M-I-S-H. That will take you to my books. My website is barrychamish.com. At the bottom of the main page is a little PayPal button for your very appreciated donations. And if you want to invite me to speak, and you've got a brave audience, 904-315-8079. 904-315-8079. There, I did it twice.
You've done it. You're getting better and better. Ladies and gentlemen, that you go up on Barry Shamish's website, pull down this story about the mercenaries. You won't read it anyplace else. If you do it, you'll have a hard time tracking it down. And then, of course, the new twist on that as far as the background of this general, this Israeli general, who is heading the mercenary force. And he is being allowed to do this by the Israeli government. Nothing as it appears to be. Is this in the, and of course, remember, this Israeli general has been working with the Office of Homeland Security. Is this another example where you control both sides, controlled opposition? Well, read the article. I think you'll find it fascinating. I know that I did when I got it earlier today. Barry, God bless you. We'll talk to you again next week.
You betcha.
Hey, thanks very much. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and some of these stories are difficult to follow, but they're vitally important because Barry comes up with great information. Doesn't always tell you why, because nobody knows why, but his facts are accurate, and he certainly is one of the leading investigative reporters on Israel. He's probably one of the leading investigative reporters independent in the world today. Now that I need to remind you that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, let me point out that to understand what's really going on, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You cannot connect the dots unless you read my book. You need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret, and then on the dark secret. And each one comes with a syllabus that will help you connect more and more and more of the dots. And certainly, we suggest you go to our website, read our newsletters, watch the DVDs we have posted. We have a lot that we never even talk about, but they're there, and they're all free. And then, of course, you can listen to our radio programs. As 5 hours a day, we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And we have a group of stalwarts who believe, as I do, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. So if you agree with us, and certainly we have a unique position on many of the things going on, pointing out that the same people control both the Islamic or the Muslim Brotherhood and certainly the anti-Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not, has been funded by the West going back to 1928. And certainly that was because the MI6 started financing it then. And you'll find this in a book called The Devil's Game. It was the American State Department that kept Saddam in power all during the 1990s. You'll find this in a book, See No Evil by Robert Baer. They're all available from Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders.